In Grady,
Sunny said, which meant, meanwhile, I'll look through all this food and make sure we have everything we need to prepare meals.
Good idea, Violet said.
We'd better hurry before someone finds us.
There you are,
called a voice from the entrance to the tent, and the Baudelaires jumped. Violet hurriedly stuffed her ribbon back into her pocket, and Klaus removed his glasses so they could turn around without revealing their disguise. Count Olaf and Esme Squalor were standing together in the doorway of the tent, with their arms around one another, looking tired but happy, as if they were two parents coming home after a long day at work, instead of a vicious villain and his scheming girlfriend coming into a fortune-teller's tent after an afternoon of violence. Esme Squalor was clutching a small bouquet of ivy her boyfriend had apparently given her, and Count Olaf was holding a flaming torch, which was shining as brightly as his wicked eyes.
"I've been looking everywhere for you two," he said. "What are you doing in here?"
"We decided to let all of you freaks join us," Esme said, "even though you weren't very courageous at the lion's pit."
"That's very kind of you to offer," Violet said quickly. "But you don't want cowards like us in your troop."
"Sure we do," Count Olaf said with a nasty smile. "We keep losing assistants, and it's always good to have a few to spare. I even asked the woman who runs the gift caravan to join us, but she was too worried about her precious figurines to know that opportunity was knocking."
"Besides," Esme said, stroking Olaf's hair, "you don't really have any choice. We're going to burn this carnival down to eliminate all the evidence that we've been here. Most of the tents are already on fire, and the carnival visitors and carnival workers are running for their lives. If you don't join us, where can you possibly go?"
The Baudelaires looked at one another in dismay.
"I guess you're right,"
Klaus said.
"Of course we're right," Esme said. "Now get out of here and help us pack up the trunk."
"Wait a minute," Count Olaf said, and strode over to the table. "What's this?" he demanded. "It looks like a map."
"It is a map,"
Klaus admitted with a sigh, wishing he had hidden it in his pockets.
"A map of the Mortmain Mountains."
"The Mortmain Mountains?"
Count Olaf said, examining the map eagerly.
"Why, that's where we're heading. Lulu said that if there was a parent alive, they'd be hiding up there. Does the map show any headquarters on it?"
"I think these black rectangles indicate headquarters," Esme said, peering over Olaf's shoulders. "I'm pretty good at reading maps."
"No, they represent campgrounds," Olaf said, looking at the key.
But then his face broke out into a smile.
"Wait a minute,"
he said, and pointed to the stain the Baudelaires had been examining.
"I haven't seen one of these in a long time," he said, stroking his scraggly chin.
"A small brown stain?" Esme asked. "You saw that this morning."
"This is a coded stain," Count Olaf explained. "I was taught to use this on maps when I was a little boy. It's to mark a secret location without anyone else noticing."
"Except a smashing genius," Esme said. "I guess we're heading for the Valley of Four Drafts."
"V.F.D.," Count Olaf said, and giggled. "That's appropriate. Well, let's go. Is there anything else useful in here?"
The Baudelaires looked quickly at the table, where the archival library was hidden. Underneath the black tablecloth decorated with silver stars was all the crucial information Madame Lulu had gathered to give her visitors what they wanted. The children knew that all sorts of important secrets could be found in the gathering of paper, and they shuddered to think what Count Olaf would do if he discovered all those secrets.